Voice of the Public. Today, we feature the Las Cruces District 2 candidates. District 2 covers south of Missouri Avenue and Bouts Road in Las Cruces. The phone number to call to ask the candidates questions is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. You can also email your questions to callin@nmsu.edu. And of course, we are on social media. You can follow us and ask your questions. Tweet us a question at KRWG or on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/KRWGTVFM. The number is 646-2212. We'll be right back after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. House Republicans are forced to regroup now that Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy is no longer running for Speaker John Boehner's job. Until today, McCarthy was heavily favored to succeed the Ohio lawmaker, first in a party vote, then on the House floor in a few weeks, which is when Boehner was due to leave Congress. But McCarthy's exit throws all of that into doubt. A short time ago, he described how he arrived at his decision.
Talking to a lot of members, but the one thing I've always said to earn this majority, we're servants. We should put this conference first. And I think there's something to be said for us to unite. We probably need a fresh face.
Today's party vote on a nominee has been postponed. Boehner says he will remain speaker until a successor is in place. One of the American service members who thwarted a terrorist attack on a French train some 2 months ago has been stabbed in Sacramento, California. NPR's Richard Gonzalez says Airman First Class Spencer Stone was reported to be in stable condition.
Sacramento police say the incident happened near a bar and appears to be alcohol-related. They say the assault was not a terrorist attack and not related to the incident on the French train. According to Sacramento Police Chief Ken Bernard, officers were called to a Midtown neighborhood around 1 a.m. last night, where they found Stone stabbed 4 times in the chest. Bernard says Stone is being treated for what now appears to be non-life-threatening but significant wounds. Police are seeking 2 suspects in the attack. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
A new study suggests children who live near the Fukushima nuclear accident in Japan may be developing cancer at above normal rates. But NPR's Jeff Brumfriel tells us the findings are not conclusive.
The study uses data from a massive health survey of those displaced by the March 2011 meltdowns. It suggests that children are developing thyroid cancer at higher rates than the general population. David Brenner of Columbia University says thyroid cancer is a common result of exposure to nuclear accidents.
We absolutely expected that there would be an increase in thyroid cancer.
But Brenner also says the new study fails to show whether the increase is a direct result of radiation exposure.
It really doesn't tell us the full story.
It might be, for example, that the heavy screening by health authorities is causing them to detect more thyroid cancer than they normally would. Jeff Brumfiel, NPR News.
Celebrated chef Paul Prudhomme has died at the age of 75 following a brief illness. He introduced authentic Cajun cooking to fans worldwide, popularizing spicy Louisiana cuisine. He had no formal training, but he rose to fame in the early 1980s and became one of the first American restaurant chefs to become a household name around the globe. You're listening to NPR News. The best of 5 American League playoffs kick off today in Toronto and Kansas City. Greg Eklund in Kansas City says home field advantage has not helped much so far this postseason.
In the 2 wild card games, the road teams, the Houston Astros and Chicago Cubs, have advanced. In the World Series last year, San Francisco captured the championship on the road in Kansas City. After winning their last 5 regular season games out of town, Royals first baseman Eric Hosmer hopes to carry that success into tonight's game at home.
We realized the time was winding down and we had to start being on top of our game. So, I think Minnesota and Chicago those last couple series really helped us on, playing good ball and getting back to the norm for October.
The Royals open against the Astros tonight. Toronto is at home this afternoon to play the Texas Rangers. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund in Kansas City.
Fewer Americans sought unemployment benefits last week as employers hold on to workers despite a recent slowdown in hiring. The Labor Department says weekly applications for jobless aid fell 13,000 to a seasonally adjusted 263,000. Minutes of the Fed's latest policymaking session suggest officials may have been close to raising interest rates, but they decided otherwise, influenced by China's economic slowdown and its potential for hurting U.S. growth. They've decided to keep a key interest rate unchanged for now, but analysts say they expect the Fed will start raising historically low rates this year. Dow is up 126 points. It's 17,041. NASDAQ is up 15. S&P 500 up 16. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. And from the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org.
Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. I'm Anthony Moreno. Great to be with you as we start KRWG's Voice of the Public call-in show. Today we focus on the candidates for the District 2 race for the Las Cruces City Council, and the candidates are the incumbent Mayor Pro Tem Greg Smith, and challenging Mr. Smith is Philip Van Veen. They are both in studios and will be here to take your questions. The number to call is 646-2212. You can also ask your questions through email at callin@nmsu.edu. And of course, we are on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at KRWG. Tweet us your questions. And we are also on Facebook. So like us on Facebook if you have a question. On our social media desk is Samantha Sonner, and she is here and taking your questions, and she'll be letting us know what is being talked about on social media. Samantha, thanks for joining us. All right, so we're waiting on we're having some technical difficulties getting to Samantha. But right now, I do want to let you know the number to call is 646-2212. You can also follow us on Twitter at KRWG and also on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and we can answer your questions there as well. The number to call, once again, is 646-2212. I'd like to start off. Let's start off with the introductions here. The candidates joining us in studio is Mayor Pro Tem Greg Smith, and his challenger for the District 2 seat is Philip Van Veen. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. And I'd like to start off with the incumbent Mayor Pro Tem Greg Smith. If you'd like to introduce yourself to our audience and let us know who you are if they don't know.
Certainly. Thank you, Anthony. Gregory Z. Smith, resident of District 2 and counselor for District 2. The Mayor Pro Tem title comes from the council, so you're not voting for the Mayor Pro Tem piece, but thank you. I was an Army kid. My dad we moved with him all over the place, mostly the Western Hemisphere, so I often refer to it as having lived from Argentina or Alaska to Argentina. Speak Spanish, hablo español. And I think that is an asset for us here locally because of all of the trade and culture exchange that we have with Mexico, but also because so many people from this local area, their first language is Spanish. My background with a diversity of living different places, working different jobs, I think that brings a wide perspective. Certainly my 20 years teaching have helped me understand not only how to deal with other people, but also have a vision for where we want things to go, a purpose for wanting to do those things, and then finding a consensus. Certainly in the teaching and the business world, that consensus is with parents and students and clients and regulators. But in the city council arena, that is about having a vision for our community, having the purpose of making sure people are represented and that the future is considered, and then having the sense of how we bring a consensus together so that when we inevitably do not agree, How do we get to a point of where we get something good as a result for all of us and for the community?
All right, Mr. Van Veen, if you could introduce yourself to our audience.
All right, my name is Philip Van Veen. I'm a local businessman here in town. Grew up in New Mexico. I've been here most of my life in the state of New Mexico. Originally went to high school in Roswell, and that's where I did all my schooling at, was over there. I'm looking to give back to our community is really what I'm looking to do in a way that I don't currently see us doing on city council. I really think we need to make a strong effort to get city council back to being led as a representative of the people rather than a government entity in and of itself. That's really my one of my big focuses on that. Is, you know, I believe city councilors, when an issue comes up in a neighborhood, should be out knocking doors in that neighborhood, meeting with the people, getting to know what's going on, getting to know the issue firsthand, and getting their feedback, because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's their neighborhood.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both for joining us in studio. And we're looking forward to getting some calls from the audience. Once again, I want to let you know that number to call is 646-2212. You can also tweet us your questions at KRWG or like us on Facebook and ask your questions there. Or you can email your questions to callin@nmsu.edu. Samantha Sonner is on the social media desk. I'd like to go to her right now. Samantha, are you there with us right now? Did we get that?
I am.
Excellent, excellent.
It was all fixed.
All right, we got that taken care of. Now, Samantha, as people may know, not only do you host All Things Considered, but you're a multimedia reporter here at KRWG, and you cover the Las Cruces City Council. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about that. What are some of the, you know, biggest issues in the last year that you've covered at City Council in Las Cruces?
Well, the biggest issue in the last year that has really impacted almost every city council discussion has been that minimum wage increase. There's also been a lot of discussions about ways to improve economic development, quality of life initiatives, and things of that nature.
All right, Samantha, thank you very much. I also, you know, there are some big votes coming up, and I'd like to talk with you a little bit about that. What should folks be aware of as they are going to vote for the polls, and some questions they may want to ask the candidates who are getting ready to knock on their doors or have maybe already done that?
Well, Las Cruces City Council recently just passed a bonding initiative for the whole Harmless GRT funds, and they're going to be looking at a lot of economic development incentives. And the first one that should come up is the convention center expansion.
All right. Well, we should have plenty of time to talk about that as well. Samantha, real quick, how can people ask their questions on social media?
You can tweet at us at KRWG, or you can head over to our Facebook page and leave a comment on our Voice of the Public post. And if you're listening and you can't call in, it's a good alternative.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Samantha. We'll check in with you in a little while to see how the social media conversation is going for those folks who may be at work and not be able to call in. Once again, the number to call is 646-2212. Joining us in studio are the candidates for the Las Cruces District 2 City Council seat, the incumbent Greg Smith and his challenger, Philip Van Veen. Gentlemen, I'd like to start off to ask you, what in your opinion are the most pressing issues facing District 2? Greg, we'll start with you.
Well, thank you. One of the things I mentioned the other night was with the NAACP forum was the need for optimism. And I believe that we do have a lot to be optimistic about in Las Cruces, and we certainly have a lot to be thankful for here. And we have things going on nearby with Spaceport and with Santa Teresa that I believe are going to impact our economy and our opportunities here. So we need to be tying things together, looking at that. And so when we talk about the infrastructure things, certainly I've helped get Farney. It's on the plans to be repaved shortly, and Bex connected to that. Those kinds of things, people oftentimes see the streets, oftentimes see the weeds, those kinds of things. And they oftentimes are going to get addressed eventually, but sometimes it doesn't seem like it's very quickly. So we need to look at that and be optimistic. But I also want to mention that the other night the crime statistics were brought up. And, you know, I looked at our map of where the districts are for the police department, and they didn't quite correspond with what my opponent was mentioning. So I hope that maybe we can get some clarification on that. But also, I wanted to point out that a publication that probably is something that my opponent gets pointed out that the 10 most dangerous cities in New Mexico do not include Las Cruces. So I think we're doing pretty well in that regard. And certainly, as far as dangerous cities in the United States, only two New Mexico cities make it to that list. And, of course, Las Cruces isn't on either of those lists. So we've made a lot of improvements in crime areas. We certainly have some questions about one of the areas where rape has come up as a increase, but that also at several levels is being reported differently from how it was in the past. And so they're seeing those numbers as higher. But I think Las Cruces is making a lot of progress in that area. It's certainly an area of concern. Another area of concern is education. And a third third very connected piece is jobs. I think all three of them are very interrelated. And if we're better educating our young people and providing job opportunities, excuse me, they're less likely to move to crime. So I think all of those are things that I've been working on, but also things that we as a community need to continue to work on.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing those up. And I'd like to give a chance for Mr. Van Veen to answer and also give us his input about what he feels are the most pressing issues in District 2. Philip?
Sure. I'll bring up the first one because it's already been brought up, and that's the crime issue. What I was talking about the other night at the NAACP forum is that District 2 includes a portion of District 2 is included in the police department's District 4.2. 4.2 is their districting on that, and it's actually their highest crime area. So a portion of our district is in the highest crime area in the city. And I do think that we need to spend some time addressing that issue and looking at that issue and working with both citizens and the police department and coming up with solutions to curb some of that. I know that a lot of that is gang-related crime, and we do need to deal with it. I don't want to dwell on that, though, as the only issue or the main issue. I'll bring up the jobs. The jobs are one of the things that, to me, is a very, very hot topic and something that we really need to do with. And you hear it all the time. You've heard it for the years on city council about the jobs that we need to attract jobs. We need to attract jobs, but it's not being done. So let's work on attracting those jobs here. And the way that we do that is to make the area business friendly again. We need to get us back to a point where, you know, businesses coming in the area are welcomed in. There's incentives for them to be here. And they're embraced a little better. And if we can get these businesses embraced a little better and moving here, then we can have some higher paying jobs in the area. And that's going to help our whole economy out.
Well, I'd like to ask you something real quick, but I want to get the number out for people to call and ask these candidates questions. And that is 646-2212, 575-646-2212. And this is KRWG's Voice of the Public call-in show, your chance to ask the candidates running for the District 2 Las Cruces City Council seat. You know, Mr. Van Veen, you mentioned business friendly. You don't think, in your opinion, do you not think that Las Cruces is business friendly?
I do not think Las Cruces is business friendly. No.
Why do you think that?
For a number of reasons. You know, everything from the one of the highest GRTs in the state right now. You know, we're matched with Santa Fe on our gross receipts tax. That's a big part of it. To the fact, you talk to businesses all over the area that will tell you it took them 2 years to get through the permitting process just to operate in Las Cruces. We've made it very difficult to do business here, and I know that there's been some strides just recently made to help that out a little bit and make it a little bit better, but we need to do more. We need to get us back to the point that our governing body, our city council, staff at City Hall is reaching out to people and going, what can we do to help you? Rather than let's see how much red tape, how many things we can put in the way and how difficult we can make it to do anything and to succeed. And when we can do that, when we get to the point that we're going, what can we do to help you? It's going to change that whole environment.
Okay. The number to call is 646-2212. 646-2212. Counselor Smith, what do you feel that the council has done to really make Las Cruces more of a business-friendly city?
Well, let me go back to one point that my opponent just made, and he was referring to Las Cruces Police District 4.2. That actually, the southernmost part of District 4.2 is Missouri, Avenue, and this northernmost part of District 2 Council District is Missouri Avenue, so that's not actually the same location. I checked with our police chief after the other evening to see, you know, how that corresponded with what he knew about crime and gang activity. He suggested that gang activity is actually more widely spread than that, and that the hot spots that he knows of and is aware of were not happening in 4.2, but more likely in 4.1, which also is north of Missouri and not in District 2. So I think probably whoever provided you with that information needs to double check on it. I'll be happy to supply you with this map. But that is one area where I do believe Las Cruces is actually, as devastating as it can be to have be the victim of a crime, that is one of the areas where we are working on making Las Cruces more business-friendly, more consumer-friendly. The other part of that is that we have been, as Mr. Van Veen mentioned, we've been working on reducing the wait time on permitting, and we have been working on the customer service aspect at City Hall. It's not by any means perfect yet, but it's certainly been an area that I have been working on, I've been encouraging. So I do think that the statements that have been made about Las Cruces not being business-friendly are more things that I've heard from people who want us to change things and not necessarily because businesses aren't coming here. New Mexico as a whole has been suffering since the recession, and Las Cruces has actually been growing more than any other part of the state since 2008. So we actually have a growth factor in Las Cruces. There's certainly work that we need to do and work that still needs to be done. But I believe we are making that kind of progress, and I do believe that, once again, you look at some of the factors that are coming into play in Las Cruces, and Las Cruces is a good place to do business.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and get that number out there real quick. Once again, the number to call if you want to talk to the candidates here and ask them a question, it is 646-2212. I think we had a call come in, and there might have been some difficulties. We might have lost that. I'd like to ask that caller to go ahead and call back and ask your question. We're ready to hear from you. And once again, the number 646-2212. And, of course, you can email your questions to callin@nmsu.edu. We're on social media. You can tweet us your questions at KRWG. And, of course, like us on Facebook and ask your questions there as well. We're going to go to a quick break, and we will be right back in about a minute and a half with the Las Cruces City Council candidates for District 2. KRWG's Voice of the Public, your chance to ask the candidates running for the Las Cruces District 2 City Council seat. I'm Anthony Moreno. In studio with us is the incumbent City Councilor Greg Smith and his challenger, Philip Van Veen. Thank you both very much for joining us. We do have a call coming in right now, and that is from Lucas. Lucas, thank you for joining us, and welcome to Voice of the Public. Do you have a question?
Yes, this is me. Am I on?
You are on, buddy.
Okay, fantastic. Hi, my name is Lucas Herndon, and I just have a quick question concerning the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument Mr. Van Veen had written at least one letter to the editor opposing the creation of the National Monument, or at least the wilderness designation for it. Now that it's reality, I was just curious what his stance was. And as District 2 is sort of the gateway into the Oregon Mountains, what his view of that is. And I'd like to hear from Mr. Smith as well.
All right. Lucas, thanks for the call. All right, let's start with Mr. Van Veen. Would you like to answer that question on your stance about?
Absolutely. That was a long time ago, that letter. That's amazing that you found that. But, yeah, that was actually the wilderness bill that I opposed on that. I was not in favor of turning the amount of land that they wanted to turn into wilderness as wilderness. The National Monument's a little bit better than that. I'm okay with that. I still think that we probably have taken in a scope of land that's pretty big for a national monument, and to control and manage that over the years is going to be difficult at best to do because of its scope and how much territory it actually covers. The Oregon Mountains, let me say this, as far as the Oregon Mountains go, I think we need to put whatever protections we need to on those mountains and keep those protected. Whether it's a wilderness or whether it's a national monument or what have you, whatever designation you want to do, we need to protect those mountains because they are a big drawing card to our area. I felt that on the wilderness bill, it was too restrictive on use on most of that land, and that's the reason why I opposed that when it came up years ago on the wilderness. As far as the national monument goes, it's not as restrictive, and so far the restrictions have not been bad at all. It hasn't really prevented people from using the land and enjoying the land, and that's my end goal in it, is that at the end of the day, people get to enjoy our open spaces here, and then we keep those spaces open.
Do you go up to the Oregon Mountains and the National Monument? Have you in a lot or anything like that?
I used to go up to the Doniana Mountains all the time. I haven't been up there recently, but I used to go up there all the time. And yes, I do go up to the Oregon Mountains on occasion. The other areas that are in there, they're not areas that I get to on a normal basis, but Doniana Mountains are, they're very beautiful. You get up in those mountains and it's really peaceful and it's very beautiful and it's a nice place to be. I love being up there.
All right. Now I'd like to go ahead and go to Councillor Smith.
Thank you, and thank you, Lucas, for the question. I've been going to the Oregon Mountains, or at least specifically to Agary Springs and Dripping Springs, for close to 40 years now, I believe. And so I've seen the difference in the road, and we're still hoping that I was pleased that the county commission voted to pave the road up to Dripping Springs. And as mentioned, District 2 is very much a gateway both to education at NMSU, but also to the National Monument. And I believe that is sort of a calling card for District 2, is the fact that it's the gateway to Las Cruces if you're coming from El Paso, gateway to many wonderful things here. I see the Oregon Mountains and Desert Peaks National Monument as really one of those assets. I wasn't completely certain that it needed to go where it went, but I was not actively opposing it either. And the reality is I believe that we have a true asset. The National Monument will be a calling card or a drawing piece for Las Cruces. And I'm thrilled that at Dripping Springs, one of the most accessible places from District 2, we will have that road access. And it is a wonderful historical point, a natural point, a hiking exercise, a nature learning place. And I think a lot of those kinds of things can be happening in our national monuments. We have three, actually, in Doniana County that are very easily accessible to people. And I believe that they just cross all kinds of areas of opportunity for us.
Were you involved with the push to make that a national monument?
I was not. I was actually very active in the push to make the Paleozoic trackways into the prehistoric trackways national monument. So I was involved in that. But I was certainly in discussion with the people on the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks. And true to my form, discussing consensus and that sort of thing, I was hoping that more conversation could happen with Congressman Pierce so that he might actually be able to agree to something more than what he was agreeing to at the point. But they were able to get President Obama to sign that into law under the Antiquities Act, and that worked.
Okay. Well, we do have a call. We want to go to Beth, who is on the phone right now. Beth, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question? Hello, Beth. Can't hear you. Beth there? All right, so we got next. Let's go to Lawrence. We have Lawrence on call. Can we go to Lawrence? Hi, Lawrence.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing well.
Great. Do you have a question for the candidates in District 2?
Yes, I do.
Great.
You want me to...
You can go ahead and ask it, sir.
All right. Thank you. Gentlemen, I was enjoying life in Las Cruces, and I've been here since 96, and woke up on September 4th morning, and someone had stolen the catalytic converter out from underneath my truck. And I talked to the police, I reported it, and found out that this kind of thing has been going on for over a year. Sometimes entire parking lots will be vandalized in this way, and also the mall and other sources. My question, and what it has to do with being in Las Cruces, is the police said we're almost powerless to do anything. Why don't you talk to your representatives? And it seems clear that the motivation for this is people's unfettered ability to round up six or seven catalytic converters, go down to either El Paso or maybe in Las Cruces, and sell them at about $25 a pop for the platinum that they contain.
All right. Is that what the police are telling you, Lawrence?
Yeah, that's what okay. The police are telling me.
What's your question for the candidates
My
here?
My question is, how can we contact someone either in Las Cruces or at the state level? What would be their approach? How could a person like me, who, you know, feels like, you know, it's a great place to live, and then you have a shenanigan like this occur, and you feel powerless to do anything about it.
Okay. Well, we'll ask. Thank you for your question, Lawrence. Councillor Smith, I'd like to start with you. You know, he's talking about crime and feeling powerless to do anything about it in this community of Las Cruces. How can, you know, the regular citizen do their part and try to do something about it to not feel powerless anymore?
Well, it is an unfortunate situation for anyone to be in to experience having something taken. I've had that experience myself. And the reality is that one of the things that we've been working on and one of the things that I've been pushing for is getting a crime lab in Las Cruces. We currently have one state crime lab that does a limited number of things here locally. And otherwise, if a crime is going to be investigated with crime lab work, it has to go to Santa Fe. That means that it has to travel, somebody has to travel with it, and you have to wait for the response time. And that is cumbersome. It means that there is a disinclination at our end, perhaps, to go there for just every little crime. Unfortunately, crimes, when they happen to us, don't feel so little. So it's going to be expensive, but I believe now as we're building the police, the public safety campus on the East Mesa is a good time for us to move forward with that. So, you know, aside from making sure that you've notified the police officers, I think making sure that our police department has the most modern, up-to-date, cutting-edge technology will help us, because we're a city of a size that needs that at this point.
Well, I mean, Councillor Smith, you are, real quick, I do want to give out the number. The number to call in to ask questions is 646-2212. That is 646-2212. Councillor Smith, I mean, what have you done to work with the community to make sure that the community isn't, you know, is aware of what's happening with crime in District 2 and throughout the city?
Well, I've worked with neighborhood organizations or neighborhood groups interested in starting neighborhood watches. Now, that is a citizen-driven opportunity. The city assists, but it basically has to be a neighborhood watch organization that wants to work together. And so, frankly, we have a couple, I believe, in District 2, but we have several other times when people have talked about it but then not followed through. The police department won't run a neighborhood watch for you, but they will certainly assist in setting it up. So that's an opportunity.
So when was the problem with it? I mean, when was the last time you guys met?
A couple of years ago, and the reality is that it requires a sort of a neighborhood driver, you know, somebody who's really willing to take charge and make it happen in the neighborhood. And that oftentimes is more work than a lot of people are ready to take on. The other thing is that I have met with people when they've had a question in their neighborhood Not too long ago, a group of people were saying, well, we think that there's a drug house next door. I had, I think, five police officers with me. We met with a bunch of the neighbors, talked about what they could do, talked about what the police department could do. And on last report, that situation has improved greatly. So while the city councilor is not a police director, we can't actually go into any of the departments of the city and say, you must do this. We can, as policy.
Well, you do have a public forum to really bring it up.
Well, we certainly,
at each meeting.
We do, and people can certainly bring those to us, but we also have, of course, a connection with the different
right.
people.
I want to have Mr. Van Veen weigh in on this right now. Mr. Van Veen?
Sure, glad to. There's a part of the problem going on is with crime in general. We have a lot of it going on, and quite frankly, you're not going to stop catalytic converter theft completely. It's too easy for them to get away with. I don't know what, you know, quite honestly, what a crime lab would do with that. You know, it's a hacksaw that cuts a catalytic converter out from the exhaust pipe and it's gone. But one of the things that we can do as a city, and we should be doing it as a city, is public awareness. This is not a new problem. This has been going on in Las Cruces for a long time, and it goes back to the full thing on crime. And although the districts may be a little bit off here, looking at this, the map that Mr. Smith brought, crime is still a major issue in our community. And there are things we can do with it. And a lot of that starts with public awareness, because if the public is aware of what's going on, they can curb it. You know, security is kind of my business. That's what I do. So I know it well, and I know how to address some of these issues.
As being, you know, living in the district and in the field of security, I mean, what are some of the things that you're seeing that aren't happening right now in the district?
Well, I can tell you some of the things, and I'm going to go off of the district into the city for just a minute on this. Catalytic converters, quite a while back, there was a business here in town, a call center, that had a big problem with catalytic converters being stolen off vehicles during daylight hours in their parking lot. And that was the only time I've ever heard it mentioned in the news, that this problem was going on and that it was a big problem. I happen to know it's a bigger problem than that, and it's more widespread than that. It's not just in the district. Neighborhood Watch, we'll jump back to District 2 now. Neighborhood Watch is a great program, and it does take an effort on the part of both the city councilor and somebody in the neighborhood to kind of head that up.
If you are elected, is this something that you're going to really, you know, are you going to invest some time in a Neighborhood Watch?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I think Neighborhood Watch, it fits right in with what I do very well. And I think it's something that we need to push forward. And, you know, the Neighborhood Watch, for any of you who have been involved in any of them, you know that it does more than just makes people wander around the neighborhood looking at each other's houses. It brings the community together. And we need to do things that bring the community together and bring the people together in one place. And the only way to accomplish a lot of that is back to what I keep saying, is that we need city councilors out on the streets, not in City Hall, interacting with the people in order to get these things accomplished.
Okay, well, we do have some calls. We want to let our callers know we're getting ready to go to you, but I do want to go to Samantha Sonner on our social media desk. Samantha, are you there?
Yes, we got a question from Angelica Rubio on Twitter. She says, as a young adult who doesn't own a business but is an engaged voter, she doesn't feel valued as a non-business owner. How will you change that?
Okay, well, let's start off this time. Let's ask Mr. Van Veen, how do you feel that you can address that issue?
Sure. A lot of this is going to be just getting everybody involved together in what's going on in our community. And again, that's right back to being out on the street and getting to meet people. Everybody in our community is equally as important. It doesn't matter whether it's the person who's making a minimum wage or a person who's, you know, making $100,000+ a year. We all contribute. We all pay our taxes. We're all equally important. We all should have an equal say in everything that goes on.
But didn't that question, I mean, what she's asking there, I mean, does that seem like she doesn't feel, as a person and not owning a business or a business leader in the community, that may or may not be wealthy, her voice isn't as heard as some of the other voices? I mean, how do you feel, or can you reassure this person that their voice is just as strong?
Well, first of all, I would agree that right now her voice isn't heard as well as others in the community. You know, business people like myself have a little bit more of a platform. We're more willing to get out there sometimes and open our mouths, so to speak, and say something about something. people in different walks of life have these different backgrounds. But unless we can bring people together, unless we can start doing some community meetings, some smaller meetings, and I know that Mr. Smith does some of those already in District 2. If we can expand on a program like that and get this more involved into a neighborhood level rather than, just a level like that, those voices can be heard that way, and that's one way to get her voice heard more. I can tell you the other way is just, and even now, I would imagine if she lives in District 2, if she contacted our counselor now, Greg Smith, I'm sure he would take her call and he would talk to her and spend some time. And we need to continue doing that as a whole, whether it's him doing it or whether it's me doing it.
Well, let Counselor Smith weigh in on this topic.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Angelica, for the question. I have, as has been mentioned, been doing meetings. I have two meetings a week, one at Spirit Winds on Wednesday at 7:30 in the morning for those people who might be heading off to work, and one on Tuesday at 9 in the morning at Milagro Coffee y Espresso for those people who might have a little freer time. And we do have people who show up at those meetings and share their thoughts with me and their concerns. Also, we have had some organized city meetings. I believe Mr. Van Veen came to one or two of those. And those are oftentimes are at other facilities that either the city owns or like the hospital. And so those have happened. And I had a think tank going for a while, which was great. We had people from District 2 coming and sharing their ideas about what we should do. That's where the Gateway District title came from, and a number of the other ideas for things that we needed to work on. But yes, I certainly respond. I've missed a couple of them, but I respond to phone calls and emails and Facebook requests, do all of that. And members of the public always have the opportunity at the beginning of our council meetings to give public input at the beginning of the meeting. So if we're not covering it there, I'm not quite sure how else we can make sure that we're getting enough input. But I certainly am available to that. And you know, people know I'm approachable. That's been the case since the first time I got on the council.
Okay, now the number to call to ask the questions is 646-2212. That is 646-2212. You can tweet us your questions at KRWG or ask them on Facebook at facebook.com/KRWGTVFM, just like us. And you could also email that in to callin@nmsu.edu. I do want to get to Kevin. Kevin, thank you very much for waiting. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I'm concerned about the dog park, and we have a group there that has formed a formal charity recognized by the IRS in the state. And we donated several thousand, about $10,000 worth of goods to improve the park. And I wonder what the candidate's position is about the city requiring park users to pay for the park. I mean, it was the Dog Park Coalition that went and got $150,000 from the state to build the park. They also got, I don't know, $20,000 or $30,000 in businesses and private parties who donated money and goods and services. And we're just having a hard time getting lights down there. So in the winter at 5 o'clock, it's dark. It's dark. And
okay.
Scary.
Okay. Okay, Kevin, one more time, your question. What's your question?
The question is what the candidates feel about users of the parks having to be the ones to pay for safety and other improvements to the parks, which appears to be the policy in regard to the dog park.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much for your question. Counselor Smith, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Well, I've taken my own dog to the dog park before, so I have used it. And I know that there are still some needs there. The reality, or at least part of the problem that we have, is that our current interpretation of the anti-donation clause of the state constitution sometimes gets problematic as far as what we might be able to give away to a private citizen or give away to a group. And so sometimes that gets employed. I was not aware of the situation that was being described there by Kevin, but certainly, and there's actually been a movement by one of my fellow counselors to make a larger area a dog park, so I certainly hope that can happen as well. But I will look into it, really seriously. I can't imagine anyone being very serious about charging people to use a dog park. I'm surprised that anyone's talking about doing that.
Okay, Challenger Vampy.
Okay, well, I too have brought my dog there. In fact, I've done that on a number of occasions, And it's a good facility. It needs some improvements. It definitely needs, there's quite a bit that can be improved in that park. I am not sure at this point, to be honest with you, how city funds can help and how the dog park is actually set up. So part of it is addressing that. I don't see any reason why the city can't have a dog park that is paid for through parks funds, just like the other parks in town, and do something along those lines. But it's definitely something that needs to be looked in, and I will gladly look into it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We do want to go to our next caller. Our next caller is Dan. Dan, are you there? Do you have a question for the candidates?
Yes. This is kind of more of a general question. I have noticed over the years since I've been living here that one of the big problems businesses have in this community is that we have companies that own a lot of business property. Most of them are second generation, and they have very old-fashioned ideas about business. Basically, they squeeze the business owners as tight as they can to get the most out of their leases. And I know at least a couple of businesses that basically couldn't make it because when the lease came up for renewal, the amounts had gone up so high that they couldn't make it anymore. And all this smokescreen about the GRT tax increase, I think, is driven by the some of these landowners who are behind some of the candidates running in this election, who are trying to divert attention from their role in the problems businesses have in this community. And it isn't just the lease costs. It's also poor maintenance, and that includes security of some of the business parks around town. And, you know, that puts a bad face on the city for visitors, for one thing.
Okay, Dan, what is your question right now to the candidates that are resolving?
Well, the question right now is, let's be upfront about the problems businesses have here. And it seems to me the candidates need to look at what's really the problem for business. And I think one of the big ones is relatively high lease costs in this community for businesses, and which interferes with their ability to hire help and render service.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I'll start with you, Mr. Van Veen. You know, you mentioned involved with business. What can you do if elected? What do you think you can do to address this issue?
Well, that's a tough one because the question isn't extremely clear on that, but it sounds like the main issue on this is that he feels that business owners are charging too much rent, or property owners are charging too much rent to local businesses, and I don't know what to say about that other than it's a private industry and it's market driven. If you have a situation where a property owner is charging too much for a piece of property, you know, a business is either not going to locate there or they're going to move to a different property that's lower. I don't think that there's a conspiracy theory between or something behind all of this, like price fixing going on properties. I've rented property in Las Cruces for my business for many years prior to buying a building and putting my business in my own building. And yes, I'm better off by buying a building and putting it in. But at the beginning, I couldn't do that. So my business was set up a little bit differently, and I rented property. And the people that I've dealt with on property management at that time were pretty reasonable. I didn't see any problems. So if there's a new problem going on, it's not something that I have actually seen or located in respect to that. I agree that, you know, sometimes it may seem that way, but there's only so much the city government can do in private industry or private property, that for that matter. We have to respect the private property rights of people, and that includes landlords and tenants.
Okay. Once again, the number to call is 646-2212. That is 646-2212. Tweet us your questions at KRWG or like us on Facebook as an Ask Us a Question there. Councilor Smith, I'd like to give you a chance to weigh in on that concern that Dan had regarding the local businesses feeling kind of squeezed from the landowners.
Well, and certainly, as my opponent pointed out, this is a lot of this has to do with private sector and not something that the city can really get into. I know there are large cities, mostly back east, where there are rent limits and those sorts of things imposed. We're not looking at doing anything like that here locally. But certainly, I think a lot of it comes back to how well do we support our businesses here locally, and that goes back to the larger questions of what are we doing to educate, what are we doing to make sure that there are the wide spectrum of jobs and those sort of things that help us have the opportunities here. I would also point out that, you know, with the rental situations, we do have a lot of people coming to Las Cruces looking at what's available on the large scale side and saying, you know, I could come here and put in my business if there was a large facility open and available. And we have not been able to garner those people. And that's one of the things that we're hoping to do with our economic development money is have some of the large things put in that we can do, the city, and sort of invest a little bit in that market in the West Mesa Industrial Park, possibly on some other vacant property that the city has. So that might help in that situation, but we certainly don't want to dive into it too deeply.
Okay. Well, once again, the number to call, 646-2212, 646-2212, just about 9 minutes for you to get your question in, so now's the time to call. We do want to go to our social media desk. Samantha Sonner is on our social media desk. Samantha, you have a question for us.
Yes, Lucas Herndon on Twitter has a question in response to something that candidate Van Veen had said. He wants to know if business owners have more of a platform in civic government, then why are you purporting that more business influence is needed? And he's saying, if business owners have more of a platform in civic government, then why are you purporting that more business influence is needed?
Okay, well, Councillor Smith, I'd like to go to you on this because you're on the council. Is that true? I mean, could you answer that question for him? I mean, do they have a larger platform?
I don't believe that's true. I mean, basically, we really do. I believe most of us really sincerely believe that it is about all of the stakeholders. It's about everyone having that opportunity. But as the opponent mentioned earlier, the reality is that oftentimes people in business are more accustomed to speaking up about their needs, more accustomed to recognizing where the pressure points are. And so from the standpoint of seeing those things and accessing them, it might be that it's not necessarily an unfair advantage, but it is an advantage that somebody in business might be able to say they had and that they know how those things work. But again, we hear every kind of complaint during our public input at the beginning of our council meetings and during the resolutions and the ordinances. We have public input. So there are multiple opportunities and then our email addresses. We are very accessible, and I would say that I hear from a wide range of people. I'm pretty sure the rest of the council does as well.
Mr. Van Veen?
Well, first of all, I'd like to clarify something. I was not saying that businesses have more of a platform in government at all. I was saying that businesses have the availability to work together a little bit because there are organizations that a lot of business people belong to, and that gives the availability to share some information and work together on projects and that sort of thing. It's got nothing to do with government. It's outside of the government realm. So I want to clarify that on that question.
Okay. Well, we'd like to get to a call. We do have a call right now from Monica. Monica is here. Monica, do you have a call?
Yes.
Okay. What's your question?
My question is in regards to maintaining properties in the city as opposed to just always looking for something new. And new is great. Innovation is wonderful. But I think that areas need to be taken care of that go back a while, such as the median, for instance, on Loman and certainly on Roadrunner, where parts have been xeriscaped and other parts are just blowing, in the breeze.
Are you referring to the mounds of dirt, Monica?
Absolutely, for our environmental as well as aesthetic reasons. In front of the elementary school, Desert Hills, It's not just ugly. It's also, I think, environmentally not good. Furthermore, going to the Veterans Cemetery, where Veterans Memorial, I'm sorry, where lots of things take place, there's this ugly area in the middle where there's nothing. It seems to me something could be done in that regard. And okay. Our homeowners, High Range Homeowners president, wrote to Ms. Levatino, but she said, well, there's no money for that. And, you know, I don't get that. I don't understand why there's money for new but not for maintaining what we already have.
Okay. Monica, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. Let me go ahead and go to you, Challenger Van Veen. How do you think that if elected you can address this issue?
Well, currently we're talking about stuff that's way out of district for us at the moment. But it is something that affects all areas. And I have to agree with her. There's sometimes that we have parts of the city that look pretty bad. I've heard, and I have to sympathize with everybody who has to deal with it. If you go in and you clean the area up and you make it look pretty, then you have people who are upset because you disturbed a natural area. And either way, it's one of those things that either way can come back. I don't know the exact answer to this question.
But as a business owner, is that one thing that you're concerned about, outside of your business? Is things like that?
Yes, the appearance of the city is very important. We've got some a piece of city property that's behind my property that we actually maintain because we don't want it to look bad. We don't want it to get to that point. And if you go beyond my property and look at that same piece of property, you'll notice it looks pretty bad. And it's one of those things that sometimes you just do what you got to do. And that's the way I kind of look at that. But I agree that the city needs to do a better job at policing their own property and keeping it up and keeping it looking nice. But that's a tough one to have a straight answer on and be able to say this is exactly what we're going to do without taking it a section at a time and saying let's work on this section and improve it and let's move to the next section and improve that.
Okay, Councillor Smith, you want to weigh in on this?
Certainly. In District 2, at the South Main area right before, between Farney and Valley, there is an area, there's a median that's been landscaped very nicely and the city does maintain it. But the city's policy on that actually is that the property owners who are the ones who have to pay for the initial, in other words, when it's being developed or otherwise being put in place, the property adjacent to the road, half of the road has to be paid for by that property owner. And that includes dressing up the median. So where you most often see the medians still bare is where there hasn't been any development next to it yet. And so it is one of those things where there's a public-private component there, and perhaps we need to address it differently. But that's currently the way it's set up.
But, the caller obviously had a concern because they're looking to develop into, all these extra money for business incentives to have things happen like that. But we still have mounds of dirt, as she said, on the most traveled business areas in our city. I mean, is that not concerning?
No, absolutely it is. It is something that we need to look at and perhaps consider a different way. We've had a lot of conversations about impact fees and a variety of other ways that we try to address some of those types of concerns. But it also comes back to the budgeting that we do has to put money into certain areas. And so if it's not designated for that particular area, and oftentimes that is up to the councilor to say, convince the rest of the council we need to put that kind of money into that budget. That is a question that we can certainly address differently if we have the will to do that and bring it forward.
All right. Well, I do want to thank you both for being here for KRWG's Voice of the Public call-in show. Thank you to everybody who called in and asked your questions. And thank you to everybody on social media who asked their questions through that venue as well. We will continue this each Thursday right here on KRWG-FM and KRWG.org. Do want to let you know that early voting is underway for the Las Cruces municipal elections, and that is for City Council Districts 1, 2, and 4, and also Mayor and Presiding Municipal Court Judge. It's taking place early voting right now at the City Clerk's Office at 700 North Main Street at City Hall. and it is going on from 8 to 5 during the week. Also, Saturday voting is available from 10 to 6 p.m. on October 17th, 24th, and also 31st. Halloween's on a Saturday this year. Are you guys going to be dressed up out there shaking hands and meeting candidates?
I have a campaign worker who wants to do that. I also want to point out that right after Halloween on November 3rd is Election Day.
All right.
I don't think I'm going to be dressing up yet, but right. I do have a tendency of going a little overboard on decorating my yard.
All right, we'll take this. We do want to let you know, I want to say a special thanks to the KRWG staff who has been taking part in this, our multimedia reporter Samantha Sonner, social media operations manager Edmundo Resendez on the phones, FM engineer Jake Lockwood always keeps us sounding good. And we do want to let you know tonight at 7 p.m. on KRWG-TV, the Las Cruces Sun News editorial board will discuss the race for the District 1 city council race. Also, stick around for Fronteras to Changing America. After that, Samantha Sonner will be speaking with New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas. I'm Anthony Moreno. Thank you so much for being with us. A special thanks once again to the District 2 city council candidates, incumbent Greg Smith and challenger Philip Van Veen. Remember, if you didn't get your questions answered, you could always go to our social media, follow us on Twitter at KRWG, and also like us